Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our study in the great doctrines of the Bible. And today we're going to look at that great doctrine of sanctification in just a moment. But before we begin our study today, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, once again, we praise your holy name. We thank you for being the great God that thou art. We thank you for this wonderful opportunity again to come before thee to open up thy holy word, the King James Bible. Father, we thank you that you've not only inspired, Father, your holy word, but also that you've preserved your inspired, infallible, inerrant word in the good old King James Bible. Father, I pray you'd remove me out of my sinful flesh, fill me with the Spirit of God, and preach and teach and say only those things that you would have me today. Father, we just pray that you'd use your word and minister to each and every one of us individually as we need to be ministered to today. And Father, if there's a lost sinner out there that's never received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, we pray this would be the very day they'd fall out with sin and fall in love with the Savior, because to receive him is to receive life eternal itself. And Father, if we accomplish anything today, we'll remember to give you all the honor and the praise for whatever you'll choose to do this very day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. The great Bible doctrine of sanctification. Now, we believe that sanctification is the process by which, according to the will of God, we are made partakers of his holiness. That is a progressive work, and that is begun in regeneration, and that it is carried on in the hearts of believers by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, the sealer and comforter, in the continual use of the appointed means, especially the Word of God, self-examination, self-denial, watchfulness, and prayer. Now, the subject of sanctification is probably the most misunderstood in the Bible. Some believe that to be sanctified is to be living above sin. Others believe it is a definite second work of grace whereby the old nature is taken away. Let us together today see what the Bible teaches about the great doctrine, the great Bible doctrine of sanctification. What is sanctification? Well, first of all, it is not sinless perfection. You see, no one lives above sin before God. Turn with me, if you would, to the first epistle of John in chapter number 1, the first epistle of John in chapter number 1, beginning in verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, and of course we know there are some that say that, but what does the Word of God say? If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So this clearly shows us, amen, that if an individual goes around saying they have no sin, first of all, they deceive themselves, and they don't have the truth. And we need to confess our sins, and we're promised if we confess our sins that he, the Lord, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, not only our sins, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if someone goes around saying they have not sinned, then they make God a liar. Amen. Because God says you've sinned. Amen. That you don't live above sin. Amen. and also the Word of God is not in you. Now, second of all, it is not a second blessing, as some say, or a second work of grace in the heart of the saved. Remember this, the Bible says ye must be born again, not you must be born again and again. Amen? But what is sanctification then? It is being set apart. It is being set apart for the Lord. Let's look at some Old Testament references first. First of all, Exodus. We want to go to the book of Exodus, chapter 13, with me. Exodus chapter 13. And in Exodus chapter 13, look with me, if you would, to verse number 2. Sanctify, set apart, in other words, God says, the Lord said, unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. So the Lord tells Moses that the firstborn of man and beast is to be set apart for the Lord, or sanctified, set apart. Now, looking in Leviticus with me. Leviticus chapter 27. In Leviticus chapter 27, verses 14 through 16 with me. And when a man shall sanctify his house to be holy unto the Lord, then the priest shall estimate it, whether it be good or bad. As the priest shall estimate it, so shall it stand. And if he that sanctify it will redeem his house, then he will shall add the fifth part of the money of thy estimation unto it, and it shall be his. And if a man shall sanctify unto the Lord some part of a field of his possession, then thy estimation shall be according to the seed thereof. A homer of barley seed shall be valued at 50 shekels of silver. And here we have the rules and regulations that go with someone setting aside or sanctifying their household under the Lord, or a field, a possession of theirs. Amen. Look it with me in 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, in verse 23. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse number 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Paul's praying to the believers at Thessalonica, and he's saying, he says that in the very God of peace, sanctify you or set apart you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he was praying that the very God of peace would sanctify them totally. Amen. Now, when is a person sanctified? Now, the Bible teaches that it is threefold: past, present, and future. Every person who accepts Jesus Christ and the offering that he made is instantly sanctified or set apart. By the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, once for all, he is separated from sin and separated unto God. That individual, he is taken out of the kingdom of Satan and set in the kingdom of God. Let's look at 1 Corinthians, chapter 1. 1 Corinthians, chapter number 1, and verse number 2. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified, Amen. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ. He's saying to those of you in that church that are saved, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. But what we want to see is they're sanctified in Christ. Amen. They've been taken out of the kingdom of Satan and put into the kingdom of God. They're set apart for God's use, no longer to be used of Satan. Look with me in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, beginning in verse 9 and following. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified. How? Through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, once for all. Once for all. Jesus Christ doesn't have to be offered in a Catholic Mass, amen. When that happens, that's like offering him again and again and again. The Bible says, "He by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins." Talking about the Old Testament priests. They would stand there in the tabernacle and offer the same sacrifice, but it never took away sin. But this man, talking about Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Amen. Again, you'll notice in that passage we read, the word one and once. Christ made one sacrifice, once and for all. Amen. That's what his sacrifice sanctified us. And those who call upon the name of the Lord, receive him, receive the offering that he made, are instantly sanctified or set apart. Now, in this divine work, there is also put in the heart of the one trusting in Christ a desire to obey and please God. So in this design work of sanctification, the one has been sanctified, the one who has trusted Christ, has put a desire to obey and please God. Look at 1 Peter with me. 1 Peter. In chapter number 1, in verse number 2. Elect, 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse number 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Now, present sanctification is progressive and has to do with the way we progress in our Christian life. Amen. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter number 4 with me. In Ephesians chapter 4, we want to begin reading in verse 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now, the reason the Lord gave us those individuals was for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ, that we may henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So God is, Lord has given us those individuals, apostles, prophets, evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, amen, to build us up, to help with that process of sanctification, to help us grow, to progress in our Christian life, so we can become perfect Christians, not sinless, but mature. That perfect man has to do with a mature man, a mature Christian, one who is constantly seeking to be right with God, to progress in his Christian walk, to draw closer to God, to be mature, to grow in the fullness of Christ, and not as a child. See, those who are tossed to and fro by every wind and doctrine are not progressing in their Christian growth, amen, or in their progress in their Christian life, amen, like they should. Look at in 2 Peter also. 2 Peter chapter number 3. 2 Peter 3 with me. And verse, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18. Peter says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. That's what we should be doing each and every day, is progressing in our Christian life. Our sanctification process, amen, is progressive. Amen. And we should be progressing in our Christian life. We should be growing, as Peter says, in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, future sanctification will be complete, amen, will be complete with the redemption, amen, of the body. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians, first of all, chapter 3. 12 and 13. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all the saints. See, Paul's prayer to them is that the Lord would make you to increase and abound love toward one another and toward all, to all men. And the reason for that is so the Lord would establish their hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even the Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. So, all of what's going on now in us as part of sanctification, will it be complete at the redemption of the body, at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Look at 1 John with me. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 2. Beloved, now, present tense, are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, meaning the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Praise God, hallelujah, amen. will have a new glorified body. Our sanctification, this process of sanctification, will be complete at the redemption of our bodies. Now, how is a person sanctified? Well, there is a part which God only can and does take. There is also a part assigned to the saved person. In other words, there is a divine side and a human side. Now, the divine side. The divine side, it is the work of God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Well, let's look at 1 Thessalonians with me. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verses 23 and 24. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. So here the sanctification, the divine side, is spoken about. And he says, faithful is, Paul says, faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. You're called to be sanctified. So the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit will accomplish it. Amen. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 with me, and verse number 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Talking again about the church. Husbands, in verse 25, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he, the Lord Jesus Christ. See, here's Christ working on the divine side, where we have the working of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in the process of sanctification. And then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verse 13. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So again, we're looking at the divine side. We're saying, how is sanctification done? How is one sanctified? We're looking at the divine side, the part where the work of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And here we see the Holy Spirit mentioned in the work of sanctification. Now look at the human side. Well, on the human side of sanctification, we have faith in the Lord's finished work. Faith in the Lord's finished work. Well, how is that accomplished? Well, by the Word of God. By the Word of God. Look it. That's why it's so important to be in the Word of God as believers. Look it in John chapter 17. John chapter 17, the Gospel of John chapter 17, by the way, is the Lord's Prayer, where he prays to his Father. Now, in Mark 6, where people often call it the Lord's Prayer, that's really the disciples' model prayer, when they ask him, how should we pray, Lord? And he shows them. Okay. Also, how is sanctification accomplished on the human side? Well, by dedication of life, an individual's life. Look at what Paul says. Look at how he beseeches us. In Romans chapter 12 with me. In Romans chapter 12, in the first two verses, Romans chapter 12. Look it with me if you would. Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So how is sanctification accomplished on the human side? By a dedicated life to the Lord, by presenting our bodies. Each day we get up, presenting your bodies as living sacrifices unto the Lord. Amen. Which is holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. And how we are not to be conformed? But be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you do that? By being in the Word of God every day, by praying, by being in church, by living for God, surrendering your life over to God. See, the Lord doesn't need our help or effort, but he wants you and I. That's what he wants. He wants all of us. He wants all of our heart. He doesn't want double-minded Christians. He doesn't want half-hearted Christians. He wants all of our hearts. Again, we're looking at how, on the human side, sanctification is accomplished. Also, by submitting to God's discipline. God's discipline. Hebrews chapter 12 with me. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 10 and 11. Verses 10 and 11. For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, talking about our earthly fathers disciplining us. But he for our profit, talking about God, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Also, how is sanctification accomplished in our lives on the human side? By turning from the knowledge of sin and desiring the will of God to be done in your life. Look with me quickly in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verses 18 and 19. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. So how is it sanctification accomplished on the human side? Faith in the Lord's finished work, by the Word of God, by the dedication of our lives to him. God, the Lord wants you and I. By submitting to God's divine discipline, by turning from the knowledge of sin and desiring the will of God to be done in your life. A Christian is being sanctified by the Word of truth, when he is bringing his life into harmony with the teachings of the Bible concerning separation from worldliness. If the Bible teaches something to be wrong, by the grace of God, he will cease to do wrong and strive to do what is right. Well, that concludes our study on the great Bible doctrine of sanctification. Till we meet again on the Pastor's Study, This is Brother Gino Cassieri. My prayer for each and every one of you is that God will richly bless you and your family. And good day.